Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply.
Fourth and final hour on this Tuesday afternoon. Darren, Donnick, and Chase. We've already told in the last 2 days, unfortunately, learning of the news during the Titans-Chiefs game in the AFC Championship game and how our mood really changed late in the first half when news got out here in our area, here in Nashville, that we had lost a friend in David Clymer. And Willie and I had the privilege to work with him. He did radio hits with us every week for an hour, weekly for, I don't even know how many years, Willie. How many years did David do an hour weekly with us?
I would say, and the years start running together, but he did make the change over to here as we came to the game. So that takes us up through 2012 in the neighborhood at least. And so I'd say about 10 years.
Close to a decade.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to say.
Oh, yeah, at least, because I remember listening.
Yeah. And a guy who also knew David quite well is on the line with us, Jeff Perlman, who is, I don't know if a lot of people realize his career really started here in Nashville. He's a best-selling author. You know Jeff Perlman's work. And Jeff, I've told the story on the show. Thanks for joining us. That thanks to the Packers and 49ers, just absolutely, I was bored, and that game was dull to me. I gave up, and luckily I found your podcast with David Clymer about, 2.5-3 weeks ago. And so I sat there, and I just had 49ers and Packers on mute, and I listened to your podcast.
Oh, man. I appreciate it. That was, I had wanted to have, I do a podcast every week with two writers, and I always wanted to have, always had in my head to have David on. And then found out what he was going through and just sort of thought, I should do it sooner than later. I'm really glad I did that one, I got to say.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Two Writers Slinging Yang, that is the name of the podcast. And, you know, it's typical David. You start off by paying him a compliment. Willie and I know this from working with the and I've had to admit, too, that it's been really tough for me to admit on the airwaves because I consider David a friend. And yet, you also know David is reserved. You know, he doesn't exactly, he didn't get in this to get his name out there and to get attention. That's not how he rolls. And I didn't even know, I mean, I knew that, obviously, I talked to him since he retired from the Tennessean and him and Rebecca had moved to South Carolina. I didn't even know that he was dealing with pancreatic cancer. And it's been really painful and awkward for me to call him a friend and yet get on here and admit, I didn't even know that. So, that's another thing that ruined my day on Sunday.
Well, it's interesting. It's almost like I when you guys called and asked if I'd come on. I mean, I don't consider myself a. When I started the Tennessean in 1994, I'm 19 years younger than David Clymer. And when I got to the sports department, it wasn't like we were buddy buddy because I was really intimidated by him. Not that he was intimidating, but he was really sort of what you wanted to be as a sports writer. And I was just this young punk who was very cocky and full of himself. And here's this guy, and he's regal, and he carries himself with dignity, and he isn't talking trash, and he isn't about hot takes, and he isn't about look at me, and he doesn't need his name on a billboard. Like, he was really, really good at what he did, and he didn't need the attention, and he didn't want the attention. And talking to him for that hour just a couple weeks ago, I learned more about him from that conversation, truly, that I had known in 25 years of being in this business.
Yeah, that's well said. In fact, it was interesting you talking about the early years at the Tennessee. And it was interesting what you said. You're trying to pay him a compliment. You could tell David was a little uncomfortable even talking about that because you're trying to say really nice things about him, and he's having a hard time putting the words together of how to handle a really nice compliment by you.
Yeah, and it's actually interesting. So when I asked him to be on, I said, "Do you want me to bring up cancer? Or, you know, is this something you want to discuss? And he said, well, let's just play it by ear. And then I did my little intro, and I talked about how I used to be intimidated by him. And he goes, Jeff, let me ask you a question. How long have you been doing this podcast? And I was like, oh, 2.5 years. He said, 2.5 years, and it takes a guy to get cancer to be on your podcast? I mean, he knew. I thought that was really, as soon
yeah,
as he said it.
I laughed out loud.
Yeah, because it was him really sort of diffusing what was an uncomfortable topic that I didn't know what to do with. I just thought that was, I was really, I know it sounds dumb. I said that to my wife the other day. I was really impressed how he took that thing and made it really sort of easy to discuss.
Well, I will say this. I want to pay you a compliment because, as I said at the beginning, Willie and I logged a lot of years with David on and off the radio. And, you know, we lived some of the stuff that you guys discussed. But the fact that we lived through kind of the Pat Summitt story and we went through some of the journeys that you guys talked about, but yet I was still really intrigued to hear the conversation says a lot about what you were doing in the podcast.
Oh, I appreciate that. I mean, the thing that you guys know about this one much better than I do, but the thing that blew my mind about him was actually the Pat Summitt column. And it's interesting because nowadays there's so many sort of social media cowboys and everyone puts out their hot takes. And a lot of times it's anonymous, it's on Twitter. And anyone could have said at the time on Twitter, Pat Summitt is embarrassing the program or Pat Summitt needs to resign or blah, 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 whatever take you have. And it's so easy nowadays because number one, all these takes come and go in 2 seconds and they're very disposable. And number two, 90% of people do it anonymously. So they think they're tough, but they're hiding. And I was just really, I reread that column he wrote, sort of calling for her to step aside and that she was doing damage to the program. And I was thinking about if you consider the time when he was the most read columnist in the state, when he wrote for the biggest newspaper in the state at a time when newspapers were still big, he puts his name on it. He's calling for the most beloved figure in the state to step aside while she's going through something awful. I mean, you know, I hate making people in our profession sound braver than they are because it's not war. But sort of guts to do that and to do it so well and to do it so eloquently, it's something I've never had the ability to do. I mean, it's just freaking remarkable. It truly is.
Jeff Perlman is with us, sports writer, best-selling author, and got his start at the Tennessean with David Clymer on the staff. We're kind of remembering David here this afternoon on 102.5 The Game. And so, Jeff, it just, as you talk about that, I think it's so well said that, you know, the whole hot take thing that we're in, it just kind of symbolizes the evolution of the sports writer. And we can go back, Darren and I can, far enough to where the rise of sports talk intersecting with the columnist made for some great radio. This was before Twitter. This is before social media. But the role of the good sports writer has evolved a lot. And so this is, it's a little symbolic of the changing in the evolution of the profession.
Yeah, he was a terrible fit for 2019, 2020. This is now the era, and I'm not judging you guys how you feel about these guys, but this is the era of the Skip Bayless, Stephen A. Smith approach to sports journalism, which is you shout and you scream and you make points whether you believe in them or not, and you see how many people retweet it, and you see how many people watch the video on Instagram, and you Google yourself, and maybe you get an endorsement out of it, and people love you, and they hashtag you. Like, that was so not what he was in any possible way, shape, or form. And he was, the number one word I think about with him, I swear to God, I'm not, is dignified. He's just dignified. I remember being in the office, 22 years old, 23 years old, and there's this guy, and he just sort of, he was just better than everybody else there. You know, he just was. He was just better. He was so good and so talented and so nuanced in what he did. And he said on my podcast, yeah, I never thought of myself as a great writer. Well, I did. I thought what he did was spectacular. I thought he was one of the best columnists in the country. I still do. So he doesn't fit into what's going on now in sports media. He told me he went to the Tennessean offices a couple weeks ago, and, you know, it's not where it was anymore. How it kind of made him sad. But also, you just acknowledge it. It's a changing industry, and this is what it is. But it's just a bygone era, and he was a golden part of it.
So, with that being said, because I agree with you 100%, Jeff, we've lost something in this, right? You you have a lot of excitement and energy with how it's done now. But can we get that missing piece back? Do you think it could ever cycle back in some form, even though it won't be the same form?
I mean, you know, we listen to a lot of podcasts in this house, and podcasting in a lot of ways has replaced the long-form narrative journalism that you used to read. I do feel like it's an audible audio medium, which is different. But I do feel like there's still room for nuance and there's still room for sort of analysis. It's just hard, though. It's just really hard. We're always on our phones, and phones don't really lend themselves to 1,100 words. They lend themselves to 240 words. And I don't know. I wish I had a great answer. I don't know. It makes me sad because I don't feel that confident about it.
So for people that that don't go that far back in this town to remember, you mentioned 1994, and it's interesting. This is a couple years before, Darren, you got to Nashville, but not very long. You were a little bit later in the decade.
I
had just gotten out of school, so
Vandy.
I'm just starting in the sports talk business, Jeff, when you're starting. But what was your role back then?
He didn't cover your minor league baseball
career?
No, he did not.
He did not. But I do appreciate his baseball knowledge because I did read his book on the 86 Mets, which is my favorite team. But, Jeff, take me back to what you were doing on a daily basis at the Tennessean during that time.
All right, so I started out in the living section, which is the feature section, and I was the worst ever. I was so bad. And, you know, I was the worst reporter ever. Anyone who worked with me will tell you, and I was cocky and arrogant and everything bad about some cocky New Yorker coming to Tennessee and the worst. I came to love Nashville. And I get demoted to the cops beat, the late night cops beat as a punishment. And when I got off the cops beat, they moved me to sports and I became the high school wrestling beat writer. And I was as dogged about covering Overton and Father Ryan and digging into high school wrestling as anything I've ever been. And I really covered preps. My main thing was preps. And then when I was there, the sports editor at the time was a guy named Neil Scarborough, and he gave me a shot. Peyton Manning was a junior at Tennessee, and he gave me a shot to write like a 2,000-word, which is a very long piece on deep dig into Peyton Manning and travel to New Orleans. And that really got my career sort of going, and I used that clip and got hired by Sports Illustrated. But I was the lowest man on the totem pole in the sports department and just learned a freaking ton from doing it.
Did David surprise you with his answer about being on the TSU beat?
Yeah, man. I didn't even know he covered TSU. So when I was there, I think Mo Patton was covering Tennessee State with some Mike Organ. And I had no idea. And which is really interesting. There's something I loved about David Clymer. I really mean this. I told a story when I was at the Tennessean and a coworker, an older coworker, used the N-word. And I complained about it to someone else, and they basically told me to shut up. And I talked to David Clymer about it. And he was talking about covering TSU and sort of, number one, how much he learned as a white kid growing up in the South and all of a sudden covering a historically black college. And also how he felt in hindsight he didn't really speak up enough when people would say stuff to him about the beat he was covering. And I just thought, like, sometimes you can just judge someone in the quality of who they are by what they've learned along the way. And it just sounded like his lessons of covering Tennessee State really sort of opened his mind and showed him something he had never seen before. And he used that to, you know, throughout the rest of his career and his life when it came to how he viewed other people. That sounds really impressive.
Yeah. Wisdom. You know, it's really something. Historical perspective. These are all things that when I think of David Clymer, that's what I think about. That's well said.
Yeah. It's funny. I'll tell you one thing. I wrote a story, a really bad story that never ran when I was at the Tennessean. There was a high school athlete, and his last name was Bacon. And I wrote this lead. It was way too long and really dumb and contrived. And it was all about all the things you could do with bacon. And it was like, one can certainly eat bacon, but one can also take bacon and you put it in your tailpipe. One can write, you know, dip it in lead and use it as a pencil, blah, blah, like a million different uses of bacon. And it was so laughably bad. But whenever I would talk to Clymer, whenever he would make a reference to me, he would always mention bacon. He'd always be like, have you had any bacon lately? How's your bacon? So,
that's
anyway,
fantastic.
That's all good about that.
No, that's fantastic. Jeff, really appreciate the visit. I enjoyed the podcast. I'm glad you put it out there on Sunday and I found it because, quite honestly, I was tired of the NFC Championship game and I made better use of my time listening to that interview with David Clymer. So thanks for doing this.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
All right, that is Jeff Perlman. His podcast is Two Writers Slinging Yang. He is he's written a lot of books. He's a best-selling author. I think 8-9 books.
Yeah, big subjects.
Garnered tons of attention.
Sports Illustrated for a long time, and then, you know, just among the books. The Bad Guys won 86 Mets. He wrote one on the crazy days of the Cowboys and their 3 titles in 4 years.
Well, boys will be boys. Is that right?
Is that what it's called? Yeah, I think so. He had one on Barry Bonds. He had one on Roger Clemens.
Brett Favre.
Walter Payton. There's one on the USFL if you are.
Showtime Lakers.
The Showtime Lakers. So he's got a lot of stuff. And the thing that sets him apart, besides just being a good writer, is he interviews everybody. He interviews hundreds of people. No stone is left unturned. Like, for example, in the 86 Mets book, very few people might remember this, but in the great Mets Red Sox World Series, a guy flew a parachute in and landed on the field while the game was going on. Just a crazy thing that lasted a couple minutes, and then it was gone. It was over. He went and interviewed the guy. He found the guy. Got the story behind. What were you doing? Why did you decide to land in Shea Stadium during the World Series? So that's the kind of stuff he has in there.
Really appreciate Jeff Perlman for joining us. We will come back and switch gears. We'll talk a little bit about the Predators on the other side. But right now, I want to talk to all the men out there. I've been telling you for years about my friends over at Cool Springs MD. And they know a lot of you, Ben, have started to seek help for hormone deficiencies and imbalances. And Dr. Jeffrey Lodge is front and center on that quest. The board-certified physician over there, his wife Daphne Lodge, is the registered nurse. And their experienced staff want to give you men out there the treatments that are required to improve your quality of life. And hope you want that like I do, especially as we all get older. And their services have already helped a lot of you here in the Middle Tennessee area and surrounding areas with improving your immune systems, which is certainly vitally important this time of year. Energy levels, always important. Cognitive function, and so much more. They're there to connect you with the medical care you require to have a healthy and enriched life. There's no better time to achieve that healthy lifestyle than right now. What are you waiting for? Pick up the phone, dial this number, make the appointment like I have. 615-283-7291. That's 283-7291. Or you can always go to their website, coolspringsmd.com. Tomorrow's Wednesday. That means Smashville Live. East Nashville Boom Boz Craft Pizza and Tap House. That's located at 1003 Russell Street. The show tomorrow will be from 7 until 8 p.m. This week's guest will be the Grim Reaper, Stu Grimson. It's going to be a lot of fun. He'll be there signing.
Speaking of authors.
He'll be signing books.
Yeah.
Don't fear the Reaper.
Maybe you should. Yeah, maybe you should. You ever shook his hand?
I have, several times.
Meat hooks. He can palm everybody's head. He's got gigantic mitts. This Wednesday's Smashville Live is brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine. All right, guys. Normally we have David Poile on every Tuesday. They're off this week. Everybody is off somewhere. Most people are off to a tropical place. Some are in cold places, but they are all away. Everybody is gone. It's a ghost town. So no David Poile this week. He'll rejoin us next Tuesday on the program. So let's take a time while they're in this break to kind of discuss this team, because after this month, let's see, they're going to come back and they've got 3 games, and that closes out the 4th month of the season. And I believe that'll be right at 50 games, right?
They have, as we sit here today, they have 35 games left.
So that would be, yeah, right at 50 games when they close out the month. So that'll be game 50 when they're done with January. So that means 32 to go. But you can't just overlook these 3, because coming out of the break is going to be vitally important, and 2 of the 3 are extremely tough games. in Toronto and Washington.
A month away from the deadline, or give or take?
It's towards the end of February.
Yeah.
I don't know the exact date.
Five weeks.
Let's look it up. I think that's a smart thing, is to know exactly when the date is. And remember, it's a back-to-back.
February 24th.
The Washington, New Jersey is
back-to-back. Is this a leap year this year?
Yeah.
So there's 29 days.
Yep.
So what is the date again?
Monday, February 24th.
All right.
So about a month away. It's the 21st, so we've got about a month.
Decisions have to be made by that date. I was looking at our good friends at Sports Club Stats, who we first referenced for the 2007-2008 Nashville Predators. I had never heard of the website until Barry Trotz discovered it and said, if we win our games, because the Predators were five points out with seven games to play. And that's right in the neighborhood of what they're out right now. But they had seven games left, and it looked like it was over. You know, most people are saying, you know, they had just lost a game, and it was like, well, it's too bad. He said, if we win our games, we'll get in. Like, he looked at the percentages, and sure enough, Dan Ellis went on a run. He, like, had three straight shutouts, and it was a magical ending to the season. And they actually clinched with one game left. They didn't even need the last game because of all that happened. So I refer to this at times. Okay, 35 games left. It really looks like it comes down to this. This team, I think, as we know, they've underachieved. They have not played to their potential. I think every single guy who is on that team, I don't think I'm saying anything that they would not agree with 100%.
If you would have said after 47 games, this team would have 51 points and be sitting, an 11th in the Western Conference, of course. If we did this back on October 1st,
it's not what they had in mind.
No one would call in and say, yeah, I could see that happening. Everybody would be like, what? Come on, give me a break. That's not going to be the case.
Especially without a rash of injuries, right? They've had a few injuries. They've had significant injuries, but they have not had a decimation thanks to injuries, right? Not to this point. Now, who knows what the next few months
hold. By
the way,
what kind of odds could we have gotten in Vegas before the season that the Predators midway through would fire Peter Laviolette and a game by 47 games – they would be sitting in the standings. I mean, can you imagine how high this is before the season?
The odds would have been through the roof.
One, you couldn't have gotten anybody to take that bet. But two, the odds would have been really high.
The only disclaimer I would say is the parity in the league is real, right? Mm-hmm. And the depth of the Central Division could have had you saying, well, you know, if you'd have told me that they wouldn't have, you know, a huge issue with injuries, then I would have said, yeah, I'd have a hard time seeing that. I mean, I think they're all disappointed with where they are, right? So 35 games left.
Answer better be yes.
Well, yeah.
We got a new storyline.
No question.
It's like,
no question.
Know, I kind of saw this coming.
35 games left. It's looking like the bottom line is they're going to need to win 20 games with a handful of overtime losses to have the amount of points that you will need to get in. Keep in mind, they've played less than anybody in the West.
So just over half their games.
Well, that's if they get a certain amount of losses in overtime.
Or shootout. Well, they're still
right?
getting a point.
So you're going to need a few extra points there. If they go, let's just say, 20-11-4, that would put them at 95 points. And according to Sports Club Stats, that's a 98% chance of getting in.
Okay.
So, is that doable? Yeah. Somewhere in here, they're going to have to hit a groove to where they go, say, 8-1-1 over a 10-game stretch. I mean, that would put them back at the pace that you would. Somewhere in here, you're going to need a hot streak. So you ask yourself, is this team talented enough to do that?
Well, that's literally what I was going to say. So let's just stop right there or pause. Is this team capable of an 8-1-1 stretch in 10 games?
I would like to think so, but I think we all know that you are not going to make the play. This is just the real talk, right? You are not going to make the playoffs if your goaltenders have a save percentage under 90.
Okay, so I want to ask you this. because
and the goals against average over
we were talking about
three.
This off the air yesterday. Has there ever been, without knowing, and I know it's been around a long time, has there ever been a team get into the playoffs with both their goalies under 900?
I think not in a long time. I bet you if you went back to the an era where a ton of goals were being scored, early 80s, like when Gretzky was getting, say, 200 points in a season, then that might be the case. I'd have to go back and look. But since the Predators have been a franchise, I bet you could count them on one hand if there's ever been any.
Oh, you think there has?
I don't know.
Okay. I was going to say.
I've never looked.
I can't imagine
I don't remember
that it's
one.
Happened.
I don't remember one. Not two guys.
Right. I'm saying both of your goalies are under 900.
You got to be scoring a ton of goals to overcome that.
Yep.
So that has to be better. So I think that's where it starts, and it's not all
what was
the
Dallas,
goalies.
What was Dallas the year they won the Western Conference when they had to they had to score six goals a night?
That's a good question.
I don't know.
I'd have to take a look.
Wonder what they were that year.
To answer your original question, though, I'm being real, being honest. What I've seen over the course of the season doesn't show me a playoff team. It just doesn't.
And you don't think 8-1-1 is realistic?
Not based upon what I've seen this year. They have the talent.
It doesn't have to be 8-1-1, but it's got to be. I mean, you got to have enough that gets you to 20-11-4 or some variation of that, 21-11-3 or 19-11-5. You know, so it's like you don't have to win every game, but somewhere in here you would think that you get in a groove that they really have not been able to find. And if you look at Pekka-Rinne, his performance against Buffalo, that was more of a vintage Pekka-Rinne game. You win the game 2-1. He made five or six critical
saves.
Critical saves. That's the kind of game that they have had less of than before. Whether it's Pekka's fault, the defense's fault, combination, one night it's one thing, another it's the penalty kill breaking down, all of these things. They need more games like that. Now, he's had a couple here recently. Since they changed to John Hines, they're 3-2. Peck has played three pretty good games. Yussi,
Saros. Are you not counting the Boston game?
I'm not counting that game. I don't count that on John Hines' resume, really. There's an asterisk there.
I'm saying,
since they're playing, they've played differently since he had that practice, and he made changes in how they play. Since then, I think it's relevant that they've won a 1-0 game where Yussi Saros played that kind of game. He had no margin for error, but they outplayed the Jets, and they were able to win 1-0 because Saros was flawless, right? He made all the saves. Didn't have to make spectacular saves, but he made all the key saves when there were. You're just not going to go through a game where you don't give up any scoring chances. So that's the formula. I think they will score enough goals to go on a run. They'll score enough, but they have to have more games like that. Those are the first two games, I think, that they've won, if you're not counting shootouts, you know, 1-0, 2-1. They haven't won those kind of games. Yep. Well, got to be able to win that way to win enough to get in there.
All right, we'll come back. We'll continue this discussion. And if you want to get involved, feel free. 615-737-1025. You can text or call in your thoughts. How do you feel right now through 47 games about this Predators team? We can do that on the other side. Darren, Donick, and Chase. But Willie, how about a word from the good folks at Lee Company?
Speaking of the Predators, Lee Company, a big sponsor of our coverage of the Nashville Predators on this show when Darren hosts his pre- and post-game shows with Hal Gill, Pete Weber, and company. Lee Company does a great service for you. It's called the home maintenance plan. And with the weather cold right now, this is a great time to ask yourself, even if your heater's working well right now, have you ever thought, you know, it's been a while since I've had my heating unit checked. What if something went bad? Who would I call? Well, think Lee Company, 615-567-1000, because they have a program that will keep you on the ball. It's not something you enjoy thinking about every day. You don't think about your heater until it doesn't work. But this will keep you on the ball. The home maintenance plan gives you the yearly checkups of not only your heating system, your cooling system, plumbing, and electric as well. So you get four phone calls, four checkups in exchange for a nominal monthly fee. It's a great deal. 615, this is what we do at our house. It keeps me on the ball because I'm certainly not otherwise. 615-567-1000 or LeeCompany.com. Make an online appointment and get involved. Lee Company is a proud sponsor of the Nashville Predators. Give them a call and tell them that we sent you.
I saw on the Athletic NHL that they tweeted out while we were on the air that multiple sources have confirmed that the Florida Panthers will get the All-Star game next year.
Saw that. Interesting. Yeah.
So, St. Louis this year.
Have fun at the mall, everybody.
Sunrise, Florida, down in the Everglades for next year's All-Star game. Well, at least the weather will be nice.
Well, I'll tell you, there's some pretty beaches not
far from
there.
It's a nice arena, but there's nothing around it.
Not in the immediate. You got to drive for 20, 30 minutes. Now, if you get to the beach, then you're set. There's some very nice activity over there. But right around the arena, it's a mall. And that's it.
Well, it's too
bad.
It's
a mall and a parking lot.
It's too bad they couldn't have done it this year. They could have had the Super Bowl and the All-Star game.
Yeah, it's just so spread out. There's a lot of stuff down there. It's just all spread out along the flatness.
Yeah. So congratulations to the Panthers. They get the NHL All-Star game next year. Bob has asked us on Twitter, what is the goalie save percentages or save percentage of Pekka and Jussi under John Hines?
Well, like I said, it's better. If you throw out the Boston
game. It's got to be, right?
Pekka's played three games, and Jussi has played two. Rene had the game where he scored the goal against the Blackhawks, who, by the way, have not lost since then. They've won five in a row since that game, and they have overtaken the Predators in the standings for the moment. That's an interesting team to keep your eye on because nobody was expecting. Even in Chicago,
they're
they were
saying,
what are
you doing? They're 3 points out from a wild card.
Yeah, they've stayed in the hunt.
By the way,
who saw them winning five in a row?
Winnipeg is sliding, and they get word that Adam Lowry is out for a month.
Right. Minnesota lost last night. The pack is going to be there, right? These are all teams that it'll be hard. We'll see who can separate and who falls back. There's still a lot of things that can happen. But Pekka played that game, played very well. Key saves. They weathered the storm. He gives up two. He scores a goal. He then played in Edmonton, where I thought he played well. He gave up three. They gave up an empty net goal at the end of the game. It was the power play once again, or the penalty kill that hurt them. So I thought he played well. He made a number of big saves. And then the other night, he, as we just said, against Buffalo, really good. So he's played three good games under John Hines. Jussi Saros played the 1-0 game, which was, I thought, maybe their best 60 minutes of structure team hockey, the win in Winnipeg. And then he got the draw where he played in an absolute stinker where the whole team stunk. I mean, let's just right. I mean, there's nothing
the
around.
The Anaheim game.
Yeah, they were terrible in that game. I didn't think that was his best game, but I don't know that he played bad. That looked a lot more like what was happening before too often. That's the kind of game they have to rid themselves of. They just can't afford it anymore, those. You know? Every team's going to have a stinker.
Well, that's where the rest
every
of
now
the
and
roster...
Then. It's one thing if you're rolling along and you're in second place and 10 points ahead of everybody. You can have a stinker, and you're like, ah, too bad. We didn't have it. They've used up that slack.
Like
in
coming out of the break, you cannot...
Yeah.
New Jersey cannot be a stinker. It can't be. New Jersey's awful.
It's the kind of game they have not locked
awful.
Down.
You got to go in there and beat them.
I worry about this team on break sometimes. I just do. Because they'll have a momentum and riding the hot hand, and then they come off a break and they lay an egg. And they've been off, they'll be off for a week now. So I worry about that. And I look at this roster as a whole. David Poile said it, in the press conference when he fired Peter Laviolette, of there are players on this team not playing to the ability that they need to be playing at. And I can still say, even though there have been some things that have been better under John Hines, there are some of those players that still aren't to that level yet. Are they magically going to just get there? Do you need to shake things up with the trade deadline being a month away? I think that's all on the table, and that's something that goes back to what I said of, I just don't think this is a playoff team right now. And I don't know if they can magically turn it on and become one. We'll see. They could get there, but how far would they go at that point? there are definitely some things that still are a work in progress that I need to see be differently. The stars need to play like the stars, the superstars.
Over time, there's no doubt. I'm really focused on that overall team game. It's the prevention of goals. And then the other specific area is the special teams, right? The 5-on-5, when you really break it down, has been okay. It's been fine. It's in the top 10 of the league. Mm-hmm. They're getting enough goals. They're in the top 10 of the league. The special teams has killed them, right?
Okay, who are the big parts of special teams? We'll start with the power play. Who are the players that
those are when
stand
your playmakers have to make the plays?
Yep. Matt Duchene, Ryan Johansson,
yep,
Forsberg, Arvidsson. Those guys right there have not played how they should play.
Definitely not on the power play.
The better
sure.
power play unit has been Kyle Turris and that group.
Right.
Yeah.
Right?
They had the big.
And that's a great. That's good, but that's not why you're paying the contracts to the guys I just named.
No doubt.
You pay those guys to score.
That's a good point. That's where they need to. That's where the difference can be had.
Mm-hmm.
I think more so than anything else.
Roman Josi is the only one that I can definitively sit here and tell you is playing up to a contract that hadn't even kicked in yet. But is the guy that is playing to the level that you expect him to play.
I think Ryan Ellis has as well, no. which is why they've got to have him back. And that's a big if. We don't know. That's an unknown right now. And John Hines hasn't seen his lineup with Ellis in there. It looks like he's going to get Colton Sissons back to start. And that should help the penalty kill.
Yeah, Colton Sissons is on a rehab assignment to Milwaukee. They play tonight. They play this weekend. So probably get a few conditioning games in.
And the other thing with Sissons and Ellis that you don't quantify with the numbers is those are team guys. You hear a lot of stuff of, hey, somebody needs to get in somebody's face, you know, or somebody needs to say this isn't acceptable. Well, those are two guys right there that have not been there since John Hines took over that will help. Adam Vingan has, a really good mailbag that hits a lot of these issues. But the power play has been better than it was last year. It's still a couple notches below where it can be. It's an untapped resource. The penalty kill has absolutely derailed them in several games. It's at a crisis, right? How many games? The last game, they beat the Sabres. They go 3-for-3 in the penalty kill, and they get the clutch power play goal at the end. That's happened, three times, mm-hmm. four times all year? Way more times it's been, why did we lose this game? Special teams killed them. Right?
They are going to embark on their two most compact months of the season. February and March, they're going to play more games than any month the entire year. So this is
huge.
Their heavy load. 29 games in February and March, 14 and 15. They did not have a month with that many games to this point, including this month, January. So is that a good thing or a bad thing?
We're going to find out.
Now,
your hopes are pinned to, in a lot of ways, they've played less games than a lot of teams they have to catch. They have games in hand on everybody they need to catch. That's one side of the coin. The other sign is there's a lot of back-to-backs coming up. There's a lot of 3 games in 4 nights, 4 games in 6 nights.
They play –
that's where they're going to have to
– they play 3 games in 4 days, and that's the end of their season. Games in 4 days to kick off the month of April. February and March are loaded.
Yep.
So there's really –
and that's where
this
those teams –
this is kind of the break. This is it.
Yeah, and there's teams that have played more games. They'll have a few other odd off days in there than the Predators. So that's the other side of the coin. The other part of it is you still got game. You got a couple games with the Blues. You got some games with Avalanche. Mm-hmm. You got a couple of games with the Stars. You still got to play some big dogs here. So
Minnesota several times.
You're going to have to beat good. Well, and not just that, Minnesota at Minnesota, where they're a different team. They're a way better team at home than on the road, and they've beaten them twice early in the season. So you're not going to have any easy games when you get down to it.
We'll come back and put a bow on Tuesday's show next. So as we get a little bit closer to the deadline, which is right at just over a month away, how do you guys feel about what David Poile should or should not do. Should he be active? Is this...
I don't think
what is the approach? Is the approach going for it? Is the approach trying to get rid of salaries? Is the approach stand pat?
No, I don't think you stand pat. It's the question
is
going to
shed.
I wouldn't go that far either. I would change.
Okay, but what? That's what I'm trying. What? Well, how do you label the change? What is the change?
And that's the question. If you believe everything that you read or you hear, I mean, we've had Elliot Friedman on the show saying that. I mean, he's had names out there. He's had Craig Smith, Mikhail Granlin, Kyle Turris, and there are no suitors. And so
wait, there's Ryan Suter.
I knew you were going to do that. I knew as soon as I said that, one of you was going to say something. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know what that change is. You don't. Do you try and trade one of the big contracts?
Well, let's separate the categories, because we know the issue with Turris is the contract, right? It's going to be hard to trade him. I think he's going to be there. Now, he made a big play the other night. They actually, if you noticed, used him on the penalty kill. I did not see Peter Laviolette have him. I cannot remember a time where he had a rotation in the penalty kill. He was in there. They went 3-for-3. I mean, somewhere in here, they have got to change the dynamic of their penalty kill. It entered the game the other day as the worst in the league. The worst. Hard to believe. That's unfathomable. So,
especially Turris, their history. It's always been good.
Let's just assume, because I think it's extremely unlikely, that they could find somebody who wants Kyle Turris. Unless you're just pennies on the dollar, and I just don't think they're at that point. I think they're going to give it a go here. You heard John Hines say, what do I want this team to be? What's his identity? I want four lines every night that can put the other team on their heels. I think that's a good goal to have. They have the capability of that. When they have played well, that's what they look like. They just haven't looked like it enough of the time. Now, Granlin and Smith are expiring contracts, and they are good players that it's not going to be easy to re-sign both of them. They don't have a lot of flexibility. So is there a hockey trade to be made somewhere in there?
Well, let's just say this.
They're expiring contracts.
There's no chance they're signing both of them.
No, there's no chance.
There's no chance.
No.
So I think the hockey trade is in play. I don't think it's I'm buying and I'm only giving up future assets, and I don't think they're in the mode right now of I'm selling. But I think the tweaking...
You trade one of those forwards and you get a defenseman, I think that's a good hockey trade.
I do think they could use another good, solid defenseman somewhere in there.
It is closing time. Good show again. Hope everybody has a great rest of your day. We'll be back at it tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. We'll see you then. Jared and the GM is next.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.